Y'all ready? Forgiveness. So last week I asked for some props, and I got some peanut butter and jelly that did not really reflect peanut butter and jelly. So this week I didn't ask for any props, although one little girl, well, she's not a little girl, she's a young lady. She said, guess what? When I got home to make a sandwich, we had grape jelly. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're going to jump right into forgiveness. And it is so important that you and I set our hearts to forgive, because forgiveness is such a powerful tool for you to get better in life. And a lot of times, and I'll go over some of the reasons that we don't forgive, we have reasons in our mind that we feel justified that we should not forgive somebody. We feel like the offense was so great that it's not worthy to be forgiven, or the person who did the thing to us, sometimes it's more painful, not so much about what they did, but who did it. You know, I can't believe that after all I've done for you, that you would do this to me. I can't believe that you would hurt me this way. I can't believe, and so sometimes that's the problem. But when you get a real biblical understanding of what forgiveness is, you will want to forgive, because you will understand that forgiveness blesses you. Forgiveness sets you free. But the correlation that we understood from last Sunday is that forgiveness is a door opener to healing. And that in a lot of cases, forgiveness and healing go together like peanut butter and jelly. And that's what the peanut butter and jelly was about. And we looked at a lot of scriptures that bore that out. We looked at 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I forgive sins and I will heal their land. And then we're going to look at a scripture today that Jesus literally said that there's no difference in forgiving somebody and healing them. That when you offer forgiveness, you're ministering healing to them. But when you receive forgiveness, you minister healing to yourself. And so I'm going to go over a little bit of the notes from last week, but this week we're going to focus on the fact that you are forgiven, because you can't offer what you haven't freely received for yourself. So God has forgiven each and every one of us for everything that we've done. And I know that's a hard pill for some people to swallow, because you want to hold on to what you've done. But God has already forgiven you. God is not bringing it up. He says he forgives. He throws everything into the sea of forgetfulness to never bring it up again. So even when the thoughts of what you used to do and how you used to be come up, that's not God bringing that up. That's not God bringing it up to keep you humble or to remind you where you came from. That's either your own imagination or it's the enemy coming to bring it up for you. But God is not tripping about what you've done. God's not tripping about what you've been through. Even if what you've done was yesterday, God, the anointing of God, the blood of Jesus can take care of all of that. You are absolutely forgiven. But when you haven't received the fact that you are forgiven, it's hard for you to offer somebody what you don't have. And even though you have it, you have to receive it. It's hard for you to offer to somebody else what you haven't freely received for yourself. And so I want to be sure that you're walking in forgiveness, that you understand that God has forgiven you of every single thing. And we say this as a joke, but I really mean it. It's not a joke. I really mean it. You can tell us anything that you've done. Just don't tell us if you murdered somebody, because we don't have to testify against you. But even with those big things like that, God has forgiven you. So it's not that he forgave you for running the red light, or he forgave you for telling the white lie. He forgave you for the murder. He forgave you for the drug use. He forgave you for sleeping around. He forgave you for the lie. He forgave you for not being a good wife or a good husband. He forgave you for cheating on your taxes. He forgave you for all the times you didn't come to church. He forgave you for getting drunk. He forgave you for sleeping around. He forgave you for not being there for somebody else. He forgave you for every single thing that you could possibly do. And I'm using the past tense. He forgave. Now he's forgiving. Now he already forgave. When Jesus hung on the cross and when that blood was shed for the remission of all sin. And you have to get a good picture of that, because it wasn't the sins that you had committed up until the time you got saved. Because when Jesus hung, bled, and died, you weren't here yet. So the blood was for every future sin that you and I would ever commit. So not the ones that you remember. We don't even have the capacity to remember every single thing we do wrong. Because a lot of times we don't even realize that we're doing things wrong until we hear some word and we realize, oh, that was wrong when I did that. So God is not the kind of God that's going to make you have a little tick mark. Okay, what about that? What about that? When you ask for forgiveness, it's a blanket forgiveness. It's across the board. God is forgiving you. And when you understand that, you begin to allow healing to come to your body, because I'm getting ready to show you, receiving forgiveness and receiving healing go hand in hand. And healing from a cold, healing from cancer, healing from sickle cell, healing from depression, healing from low self-esteem, healing from anger, because anger is a disease. Praise the Lord. I know they don't categorize it at the hospital, but if you've ever had an anger issue, if you've ever had a rage issue that you can't control it, it's like a disease. And God will heal you from all of that, but you got to be willing to walk in forgiveness. And so last week we went over a couple of notes, and I want to share this, then we'll move forward, of reasons why people don't forgive. People don't forgive because they feel like forgiving means that I agree with what happened or that I understand what happened. Forgiveness does not mean that. It does not mean that I agree, and it doesn't mean that I understand, because we may never understand why people do what they do. And everybody said, amen. Sometimes people do things and we're like, why in the world would you do that? And why in the world would you do that to me of all people? So forgiveness doesn't mean you understand. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you agree. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're pretending that it didn't happen. One of the prerequisites for forgiveness is that you have to be honest about what happened, even to the point of sometimes having to say it out loud. We like to kind of fudge things over and smooth things over, especially as Christians, because we think it's the good Christian thing to do. But without being honest about what happened, it's eating you up on the inside. You have to be honest and say, what you did hurt me. What you did bothered me. And then if somebody says that to you, you got to be big enough to say, oh, I'm sorry. It can't become this tit for tat, but you have to be willing to be honest with people about how the things they do make you feel. And if somebody comes to you and says, what you did bothered me, you got to be woman enough or man enough to take it, own it, and deal with it. And a lot of times forgiveness doesn't flow because we won't even admit that something happens. And this is a joke that I say it all the time. You're in a car with somebody and they sit in the passenger seat like this. What's wrong? Nothing. Why you look like, I'm fine. What's the matter? Nothing. Why? Say what is going on. Be honest so that forgiveness can begin to flow. Because as long as you keep that in, and then you get mad because you feel like, well, you didn't ask the third time. Had you asked me a third time what was wrong, I would have told you. You only asked twice. So now you don't really care about me. You don't really love me. Because if you really loved me, you would have asked that fourth time. You would have asked that. You would have kept asking until I gave you an answer. Be honest. The first time they ask, say, this is what is bothering me. I gave you an example in my life. People are amazed because I'm a really low-key person. I'm a really nice person, but I'm very honest about my feelings. If you ask me, Pastor Vita, what's wrong? I'm going to say, I can't talk about it, but something's really bothering me. I'm not going to pretend like something like I'm okay. If I'm not okay, I'm going to say I'm not okay. But now for Pastor Russell, if he asks me what's wrong, I don't ever say I can't talk about it. I say this is exactly what is bothering me, even if he's the reason that is bothering me. Why? Because I need to walk in healing. I have too much to do. I have to take care of children. I have to minister to you. I got to pray. I have to intercede. I have to be happy. I can't afford to not be happy to safeguard your feelings. Amen. And so a part of forgiveness means you have to be honest about what is bothering you. I do so many counseling sessions, and it takes me two whole sessions to get to the root of what's going on, because the person who wants counseling don't want to tell me what the problem is. And I'm like, why are you here? Why did you drive across town, sit at my desk for us to talk about One Life to Live and all my children that don't even come on no more? What is the problem? Well, when I was a little girl, something happened. What happened? Why are you mad at your husband? Why are you mad at your wife? Why are you mad at yourself? Who hurt you? What did they do? Be honest. Because without honesty, forgiveness cannot begin to take place. So forgiveness is not pretending that it didn't happen. Forgiveness is the exact opposite. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. It's not agreeing. It's not saying that you agree. It's not saying that you understand. Again, you may not ever understand. If you've ever been married, some things that your spouse do, you don't ever. Pastor Russell don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why he do what he do. But I don't try to spend any time trying to figure it out. This is how it made me feel. Can we move on? This is how it made him feel. Can we move on? So here's some other things about forgiveness. Forgiveness says, I know and I accept what you did, but you owe me nothing. When you forgive somebody, they no longer owe you anything. They don't owe you an apology. They don't owe you an explanation. They don't owe you a makeup. They don't have to pay it back. And counselors will probably not agree with this, but they don't owe you something called closure. Jesus is your closure. The blood of Jesus is your closure. Sometimes you say, I can't move on. I can't get over it until I understand why he cheated. Really, honey, you don't want to know. You don't want to know why he cheated. Just let's mellow it down to, at that moment, he wasn't submitted to God. But you don't want to know the details because her hair was longer than yours, or her hair was curlier than yours, and her calves look better than yours, and she moved her hips better. Or what you really don't want to know is that she look a hot mess and you together all the time, because then you really don't understand. And all the women said, amen. And all the guys said, all right. There's some things you really don't need to know. Forgiveness is not about how you feel. It's a decision. You don't wait until you feel better. You just have to make an on-purpose decision. You don't owe me anything. Forgiveness says that the offender is no longer a part of your happiness equation. I don't need your cooperation to be happy. I don't need you to be involved with my happiness. I'm not waiting on your apology. I'm not waiting on your explanation. I'm not waiting on your alms. I'm not waiting on you to come and do all this atonement to me. I'm going to be happy without your participation, because I'm releasing you from all penalty. I'm moving on. I'm letting you go. Forgiveness disconnects you from the offense. And a lot of times we can't be happy because our happiness is tied up in the explanation, or our happiness is tied up in the apology. But you have to be willing to let it go. There are just simply some things that you're not going to understand, you're not going to get. You have to let it go. You have to move on, and it's simply a decision. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Sometimes you will let things go in the midst of tears. You will let things go while you're crying on your pillow. You will let things go while you're holding yourself back from anger, from choking somebody. But you have to make a decision. You know what? I'm letting this go. So that was what we talked about last week. So I want to, and then, let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 9. Is I want you to see the connection between forgiveness and healing. A lot of the emotional and mental things that you and I go to are simply because we don't have the ability to forgive. Well, we have the ability, we don't use the ability. And here, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, it says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So they bring a sick man to him, and they see, Jesus sees that he's sick. He sees the faith of the people around him, because they were demonstrating their faith by bringing the man to Jesus to be healed. But Jesus doesn't say to the man, be healed. Jesus says to him, your sins be forgiven. Because from a spiritual point of view, forgiveness automatically brings healing. And healing is a result of forgiveness. So the two go hand in hand. The two go together like peanut butter and jelly. So look at verse 3. It says, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man is blasphemous, talking about Jesus, because they were wondering, how dare he say your sins be forgiven when he's talking to a sick man? Verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk? He's saying, is it harder to say your sins be forgiven or be healed? What's the difference? Because in God's eyes, the two go hand in hand. And so the emotional stuff that you're feeling, the low self-esteem, the depression, the sickle cell, the cancer, all of those things could possibly be a result of you not being willing to let something go. You know, old folks used to say it like this, it's eating you up alive, it's eating you up on the inside. That's a spiritual truth. Some things that you refuse to let go is literally eating away at you, eating away from your happiness, eating away from your health. But then look what Jesus says in verse 6. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins. He says, power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. So he says, so that you'll know that I have the power to forgive sins, be healed. Again, he didn't say, forgive your sins. The way that he forgave sins was to heal him. The way that he heals is through the forgiveness of sins. So the way that you and I can begin to facilitate healing in our own lives, emotional healing and mental healing specifically, is to be honest about what happened with us. Be honest and then make a decision to disconnect yourself from it. Make a decision that the offender doesn't owe you anything. They don't owe you an explanation. They don't owe you an apology. They don't owe you the details. They don't owe you the whatever, you know, they can't make up for it. They can't be super nice all of a sudden. You have to make a mental decision that you owe me nothing. I'm honest about what happened, but I'm making a decision to let it go. And sometimes that's hard. I mean, just to be honest, sometimes that's hard. But you have to decide, what would you rather do? Hold on to the offense or grab a hold of what God has for you through the way of being healed? And most of us, if we're honest, we really want the healing. We can let go of the other stuff, but we really want the healing. And we got to just get over this thing, well, I need all the details. I need to know, why were you late all the time? You were never there for me. Let it go. Just be willing to let it go. In Matthew 10 and 8, it says, freely you have received, now freely give. When you got saved, when you came to the altar and gave your life to God, did God require you to take out a piece of paper and a pen and write down everything that you had done and why you did it? We would still be at the altar trying to figure it out. If God required us to give an explanation of why we do all the things we do, God said, freely you receive, now freely give. The same way that I forgave your sin simply because you asked for it, now that's the same way I want you to forgive other people even when they don't ask for it. Somebody doesn't have to ask you for their forgiveness for you to offer it. Some people who've hurt you, you'll never see them again. Some people who've hurt you, you haven't seen since the hurt, but you don't need them to be a part of your happiness equation. You don't need them to physically be there to forgive them. You make a decision in your mind, you know what? I'm disconnecting myself from that offense. That person owes me nothing anymore. I'm making a decision. No matter how I feel, I'm making a decision. But once you make the decision, the feeling better will come. The feeling better is a part of the healing. The healing power will come, but you have to make the decision to let it go. Let it go. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to be best friends again. It's another reason we don't forgive, because I don't want to be close to you anymore. Forgiveness doesn't mean access. Forgiveness means that I'm releasing you of the penalty. I'm letting it go, but it doesn't mean that I have to let you back into my life the same way you were before. You don't have to call me. You don't have to text me. I don't need a birthday card from you. Don't expect one from me. I wish you well. I wish you all the best. I hope you're doing good. But no, we're not going to brunch. No, we're not going to the game. No, I'm not watching your kids. No, you're not watching mine. I'm not walking your dog. I cannot pick up your package for you. I cannot run you across town. Oh, yeah, I forgive you. We all good. You owe me nothing, but I know I owe you nothing. That's a two-way street. I owe you nothing. And don't allow anybody to tell you, well, because you're a good Christian, you're supposed to do everything for everybody. No, I'm not God. God does everything for everybody. I'm not God. I'm an example of his love and his glory in the earth, but it's not my responsibility to minister to the needs of everybody, especially those who have shown that they don't have the ability to respect me and the God on the inside of me. And when you get a hold of that, that will free you, because sometimes you feel like forgiveness means we got to be BFFs again. We don't have to ever speak again, but I wish you well. I hope everything goes well for you. Actually, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that all your dreams come true, but don't call me no more. Don't show up at my doorstep. Stop liking my stuff on Facebook. As a matter of fact, let's defriend. As a matter of fact, let's just defriend this, because we don't have to have that same relationship. Forgiveness absolutely frees you from all of that. You don't have to keep going back into a situation that reminds you of the pain and reminds you of the hurt. You don't have to do any of that. You are free to move on. And that's when the emotional healing really begins to take place, when you realize, I'm free from all this. I don't have to keep doing this. Okay, look at 3 John. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm free to forgive. Verse 2 says, 3 John, all the way in the back. Verse 2 says, behold, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And a lot of times we see that and we think, yay, money, I'm gonna be a millionaire, I'm gonna have a mansion, I'm gonna have a car, I'm gonna have a house, I'm gonna have a diamond, I'm gonna have this, I'm gonna have that, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. But if you jacked up on the inside, you can have all that stuff and will not be able to enjoy it. So let's just get that clear. So this prosperity right here is total life prosperity. It's not talking about just you having a house or having a car or whatever. It's talking about you being whole all the way around. And the prophet here, he's saying, I wish above all things that you may prosper and do what? Be in health. But now we understand that the way that health is facilitated in your life is through you receiving the forgiveness of God and through you giving forgiveness. So with that understanding, your prosperity and your health are all connected to your ability to forgive, let things go, and move on. You keep getting turned down for the loan, do you need to forgive? You can't get the promotion on your job, do you need to forgive? You can't get into a good relationship with somebody. Do you need to forgive? You looking for a financial breakthrough for your prosperity? Is it possible that you're holding on to something that you shouldn't be holding on to? Now look at the next verse. It says, verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What do we say about forgiveness? You have to be willing to be truthful about what happened. So he's saying, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, and I wish above all that you'll be truthful about what happened in your life, that you'll be truthful about where you really are, that you be honest and look in the mirror and tell the truth about how you feel and who made you feel that way and why you feel that way, but then let it go. You can't forgive somebody without being honest about what happened. You can't receive the healing that's associated with forgiveness without being truthful. Stop pretending like things didn't happen. Stop pretending like you some rock and nothing affects you. Stuff does affect you. And every time you pretend like it doesn't, you're holding on to it and you're saying, I want to be sick another day. I want to be mad another day. I want to be upset another day. I want to be like this another day. He says, I have no greater joy, but when people tell the truth and walk in truth, live in truth, stop pretending like you're an emotional mountain, like you're marble, impenetrable. If something hurts you, be honest. If something affects you, be honest. Why? Because your healing and your prosperity is on the line. The person you met at across town with their new boo and their new house and their new car and their new dog and their new cat ain't thinking about you. And you in your townhouse and need a new roof and need a new sink, and you only got 3 good tires and the radio don't work and the car, the lock don't work, and you mad. They across town, let it go, moved on, and then when you see them, oh my goodness, fire comes out of your ears. Stuff shoots out of your eyes. Your skin turns green like the Incredible Hulk. Why? Because you won't be honest that they hurt you. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm a man. I'm be all right. I'm be all right. Come on, y'all. I'm going to go shoot some pool or something. We all right. We boys. I'm going to be all right. Come on, girl, let's go shopping. We all right, girl. We don't need no man. Come on, just me and you. Single life. Come on, come on. You better tell the truth. Because the truth will do what? Set you free. The truth will set you free from that pain. The truth will set you free from that sickness. The truth will set you free from that emotional hurt. It's all a part of the forgiveness process. We can't even go through the steps of how you actually forgive until you're willing to deal with you and how you feel about it and what you're going through. You've got to walk in truth. Okay, look at this. John 8. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him. Anybody believe on Jesus?
Amen.
Anybody believe in Jesus for stuff? Believe in Jesus for healing? Believe in Jesus for prosperity? So this is what Jesus says to everybody who was believing on him. Everybody who believed in him. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now, for everybody just look straight ahead, keep a straight face for a second, nobody blink, nobody sneeze, nothing. How many of us know somebody who sees every new person in their lives through the lens of their old boo? Everybody know that person. It might be you. That's why everybody looks straight ahead. You can't get a new friend. And it doesn't even have to be an intimate relationship. Just like a new girlfriend. You can't get a new girlfriend. You can't get a new best friend. Because everybody new who comes in your life reminds you of them. Or you see them through them. Oh, yeah, because when she used to wear a red sweater, that meant this. So I can't deal with her. I mean, down to the littlest things. The issue was that you never released the prior person from what had happened. So now everything in your life, every new potential thing in your life is anchored and hinged to the person you don't like no more. How much sense does that make? Let me take it a little bit deeper. You haven't seen your father since you were 2, and you 52, but you can't have a healthy relationship with somebody because your father wasn't there 50 years ago. He's not thinking about you. Be honest about how that makes you feel. And move on. Oh, no, I can't date nobody named Lee because my father's name was Leroy. So, I can't get in a blue car because I was only 2, I heard that my father drove a blue car. And Lee, with the blue Jaguar, with the credit score of 790, who love Jesus and come to church every Sunday and serve, but that's not your man because your father? Really? Because your mom made a mistake, now you can't trust any women because your mom made a mistake? The truth will set you free. Be honest about how you feel about that. We haven't even gotten to the part of how you actually walk through the steps of forgiveness. This is preparing your heart to be able to forgive. Be honest about how you feel about it. And some people will say write a letter or pick up a picture and talk to the picture. I don't believe you need to do that because you don't need that person's participation to be happy. You just got to be honest with yourself and honest with God and make a decision to let it go. Again, it has nothing to do with how you feel. You're going to feel a certain kind of way as long as you feel a certain kind of way. And that's the truth. If Pastor Russell come up here and punch me in my face right now, after all of y'all men better jump on him, I mean, I'm going to feel a certain kind of way about him doing that. But I can make a decision. All the men will come and jump on him, right? What? We need to be having a different sermon. I mean, at least the people in here related to me better jump on him. Don't show up for Thanksgiving. I'm feeling a certain kind of way about your behavior right now. But now, because we've been married for almost 21 years, we've been friends since we were 17, he's my best friend. First of all, I would be tripping because he hit me, but I would also be tripping because he hit me. If Tracy came and hit me, I'd be like, she going through something. What's wrong with her? But if he hit me, that would hurt me to my core. That would hurt me. But now I need to be honest about that. After I get up off the floor, I can't be like, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm sorry. No, I got to be like, y'all get him. I'm mad. Help me. Everybody go. I mean, but we don't do that. We don't do that. Pastor Russell, don't hit me, y'all. Pastor Russell's never hit me. He never will hit me. I was using it as a really vivid example, Pastor Cash. Sheesh. See what happened? He must have had another girlfriend that did something. I'm just... Somebody say amen. First John. Everybody say, I want my healing. First John chapter 1. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our unrighteousness, him cleansing us, is him cleansing us for anything that's not like him. That includes sickness, that includes disease. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Praise the Lord. Y'all should have the Bible memorized by now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So us confessing our sins brings about forgiveness. And then as a result of the forgiveness, he in turn cleanses us from anything that's not like him. That includes sickness, that includes poverty, that includes anything that's not like him. But here it says when we confess, when we open up our mouth and say something, then that brings in the forgiveness and the cleansing power. The same way happens when you're receiving forgiveness for yourself or when you want to forgive somebody else. You have to open up your mouth and say something. You have to open up your mouth and say exactly how it is you're feeling, exactly what it is you're going through. You don't have to be nasty about it. There doesn't even have to be an audience. Your only audience can be the Holy Spirit. But you, again, have to be honest about what's going on with you and then immediately expect for the forgiveness anointing and the healing anointing to begin to work in your life. And I know that I'm staying on this point, but there are so many people who will not be honest about how things make them feel. And then you hold on to it, and 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 you hold on to it. And then somebody accidentally bumps you in the store, and you flip off. And you're trying to figure out, why am I flipping off? It's because you didn't address all of the little things that happened. You didn't address all of the little things that got on your nerves. You were married to somebody, and when they did something the first time they didn't like, you didn't address it. And then they did something again you didn't like. You didn't address it. Then it's the 100th time. Now you're ready to physically fight. You're ready to pack up your stuff and leave. You calling your mama. You calling your pastor. You doing. But what if you had just been honest the first time and just said something the first time? And not having all these things. Well, I don't want to be petty. We're talking about your health. We're talking about your happiness. We're talking about you teaching people how to treat you. So if you allow something to go on for 25 years, now all of a sudden it's bothering you. The other person's like, wait, we've been doing this for 25 years. How is it that now it's a problem? Who you been talking to? Now they think you changed. The issue is you never told them up front the first time, I don't like this. You owe it to yourself to be honest about how you feel. You owe it to yourself to be willing to begin the process of healing and forgiveness so that you can be happy, so that your children can be happy, so that your spouse can be happy, so that you can receive the prosperity that God has for you, so you can get the blessings God has for you. And we know that blessing is the anointing, the prosper, but I'm talking about the things that God put in your heart that you want. Is it possible? You've been praying out, Pastor B, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been doing all the right stuff, I've been coming to church, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. Is it possible that something is being blocked because you won't let it go? you don't have any more capacity. There's a capacity level for your spirit. Did y'all understand that? Did y'all know that? There's literally a capacity for your soul. Pastor Russell taught me this. You guys know the scripture in Proverbs that says, even the full soul will loathe a honeycomb. That means that when you're full, even something that looks sweet, you'll reject it because you're too full. Y'all know that scripture? So surely that means that your soul has a capacity level. If your soul is so full of anger and bitterness and sadness because of all the things people have done to you, there may not be capacity for you to receive what God wants you to have. You don't have the capacity to love anybody new. You don't have the capacity to get excited about the new job or get excited about, you know, the new house. You don't have the capacity because you have your soul so full of all the stuff that you won't be honest about and let go. Is it possible? It's possible because the word says so. But think about all the times when something good has happened to you, like, I'm not even excited about it. Why not? Why is there no capacity in your soul to be excited about something good happening to you? Is it possible because you didn't let go of something else? So there's no capacity for you to be excited. There's no capacity. You know, when we call it getting, I'm just numb to it now. I'm just so numb. He's been acting like this for so long. She's been acting like this for so long. She's been doing this for so long. It don't even bother me no more. I'm not even moved by it anymore. Is it possible that your soul is full to capacity, that you have no more room to respond to things good or bad because you won't let stuff go? Is it worth it for you to not be excited about the thing that you've been praying about finally coming? We write it off. Well, you know, I'm not excited because I knew it was coming. I believed and received when I prayed about it. I knew way back then when I prayed about it was coming. So I'm not even moved that it showed up now. No, that's you saying your soul is so full of other stuff that you don't even know how to act when something good happens for you. Y'all know people like that. They pray. They say, oh, girl, you finally got the house. And they just all, well, you know, when I prayed 3 years ago, I knew it was going to happen. So I'm not moved, girl. I just know God. I trust God. God's so good to me. Mm-mm-mm. Their soul is full of some stuff. You not mad that your husband after 5 years left you, girl? Y'all knew that was coming. I'm not even worried about that. Her soul full of stuff. Because you won't be honest and let some stuff. This is blessing anybody. You won't be honest and let some stuff go. The next week, we'll talk about the actual steps of what you have to do to forgive somebody. But you got to deal with your heart first. What's in your heart? Is it full of the truth? The truth of about how you really feel about something? The truth is uncomfortable. The truth sometimes hurts the person you're talking to. Sometimes the truth hurts you to even hear it. And I understand that there's some things that are just easier. What's the saying? Easier left unsaid, but it's eating you up on the inside. So maybe it really isn't easier. Sometimes you have to be willing to have the really hard conversations, even if you're having them with yourself. You got to stop pretending behind this thing called fake faith. Well, I'm not talking about it because life and death is in the power of my tongue, and I'm not going to say nothing negative, but it's already in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. So even if you're not saying the exact words, the bitterness and the anger about nothing is your heart screaming out that I have too much stuff on the inside of me. Somebody says good morning to you. Good morning. What's that about? What? Really? What's that about? Well, how you doing? Why you asking me that? Oh, I just asked, was it raining outside? Why you ask me? Why you ain't ask him? Always in my business. Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. Your mouth is going to tell you exactly what's down in your heart. If you sad about everything, guess what? You won the sweepstakes. Ed McMahon is coming to your house. That's nice. Oh. Or you say this, yeah, I won, but they're going to take out a lot of taxes. Even if they take out 30% taxes, 30% of $30 million is a lot more than what you got now. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Use me, Lord. Try me. Your mouth will tell you exactly what's on the inside of you. Oh, look at that ring your boyfriend got you. It's probably fake. Oh, look at the new car. It's used. oh, look at this new house. It's too big. I got to clean it by myself. I got to spend more money to hire somebody to help me clean it up. Oh, your wife looks so nice. She got her hair done. It ain't going to stay like that. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. I can't. Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. So you need to catch yourself and hear what you're saying. And no, wait a minute, I got some stuff down in my heart. Is it possible I need to be honest about some stuff and I need to forgive some people? I need to forgive myself. I need to receive the forgiveness of God, understanding that God is not holding anything against me. God is not mad at me. God is not angry at me. God is not trying to teach me a lesson. God sent his word to teach us. This is the only lesson that God needs to ever teach us. He's not putting you in a bad situation to bring out temperance in you. He's putting you in a bad situation. Well, he doesn't put us in bad situations. He said that he cannot tempt man. You got yourself into a bad situation, and now you're trying to employ the temperance that God has made available. That's a very different scenario. But we got to be honest so that we can begin to walk in total forgiveness for ourselves, of other people. And again, forgiveness does not mean that you understand. Forgiveness does not mean that you agree. Forgiveness does not mean that you're okay with it. Forgiveness does not mean that it didn't happen or it wasn't a big deal. Quite the contrary, forgiveness simply means that my happiness is more important than what you did to me. So I'm going to make a mental, on-purpose decision to let it go, and you no longer owe me anything. And I know some of you have been through some really horrific things, and you had some things happen to you that, well, Pastor Vita, if you only knew what I had been through, I don't have to know, but God knows. And he still made the power of forgiveness available to you. I don't have to know what happened. I don't have to know the details. We don't have to iron them out. But you need to be honest about how that event made you happen. You need to talk to God about it. You need to get real with how you feel and let it go and no longer hold that person with any penalty. They don't owe you anything, but you don't owe them anything either. You know, somebody was really mean to you. You don't have to nail go to their house for Thanksgiving to prove you've forgiven them. Hey, I hope y'all have a good dinner over there. We're going to have dinner over here, but you don't owe me anything. I'm not looking for any restitution, thank you, restitution from you. Everybody received that on this morning? I have so much more to share with you, but my time is up. Let's stand up and receive the word.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Glory to God.